trying to figure out a focus and a direction here, and you're going to have to work with me. Are you willing to work with me? On one hand, I want to first, something spoke into me about, does anybody want to give any acknowledgments or testimony to that of what God is doing or has done for you? I think it's very important that as we as churches stop sometimes and smell the roses. Wasn't there a song like that or whatever? We say that, and there's a saying out there, you need to stop and smell the roses. I think sometimes we need to slow down a little bit on just pushing and empowering out messages to encourage us, but also to stop just a little bit to say, you know, do we have a witness? Do we have a witness to what God is doing? We can share His Word and Scriptures, and it's all well and good, and it all helps me. It encourages me. It gives me peace. It gives me strength. It gives me joy. All of these things. Does anybody want to share any witness? And I'll give you a mic up here. You can come up or whatever.
Okay, my testimony today, I guess, would be about, I used to think that I could only pray to God about the big things. That He had cancer patients to deal with and death to deal with and all these horrible things. And I used to think, I can only pray to Him about the big things, right? Well, God showed me this week, as He showed me many times before, He cares about the big things, but He cares about the little things too. He's all in your life. For those of you who don't know, I have a son who I love with all my heart. He's 37 years old, and he's always been a bit of a challenge for Mom. Rebellious, not liking authority. But long story short, he's actually homeless now, no job, and there's some mental illness going on that we're trying to get him help, but nobody will help us. Now he's taken himself to California, and I've been following his Twitter page. So my heart is breaking as his mother. I know he's mentally ill, he needs help, but it's gotten to the point where a couple of weeks ago, I cried out to God, and I said, God, I cannot live in this nightmare anymore. I love my son, and I want to help him, and I want to fix it. And I've been trying to help him and fix it myself for 37 years. And I said, God, you know I can't help my son. I cannot fix this. So I cried out to him, and I said, God, I cannot be in this nightmare anymore. And he said to me, so don't be in the nightmare. I clearly heard his voice, and he started with the word so. Like, so, don't be in the nightmare. And I said, God, how can I not be in the nightmare? His friends are constantly calling me, telling me he's in desperate need of help, and I've tried to help, and I'm not capable of helping. He's an adult. I can't have him committed. It's almost impossible to take someone's rights away from them. So I've been dealing with that for over a month now, and I made a promise to God. I was following my son's Twitter account, and there was horrible, horrible things on there. And I would be distressed for days and crying for days, and I said, I can't live like this. So I promised God, I'm not going to look at his Twitter account. And every night I say to my husband, don't let me look at his Twitter account. And my husband, Doug, keeps saying, don't look at the Twitter account. So I haven't been, and I've been doing much better. Nothing's changed in my son's life, but I have God's peace, and I've always had it, but I had to give myself permission to take it. As a mother, you feel guilty. I'm not worrying about him. I'm not checking on him. So I've been doing that for a couple of months, and with God's help, I've been doing much better. Now, one night this week, my husband and I always pray together before we go to bed. And I said to God, I'm starting to get anxious. Don't know what's going on with my son. And I'm like, okay, I can't stand this. I'm going to look at Twitter. So that night, my husband and I prayed. And I said, God, I cannot stand this. I need something to know what's happening in his life. And I'm going to break my promise to you. I told him, I'm going to break my promise to you, God. And if you don't stop me, I'm going to look at Twitter tomorrow. I said, I can't stop myself. You need to stop me. If I'm not supposed to look at Twitter, stop me. Okay, so go to sleep, wake up the next morning, get a call from my daughter. My son contacted my daughter, who he hasn't talked to in months and months. Gave him an update, sent pictures. He now has money. He bought a van. He's still homeless, but now him and his dog are living in the van. And he has money for food for him and his dog. And I knew immediately when my daughter said that to me, that was God stopping me. He sent me a glimmer of hope. He had pictures on the text messages he had sent her. So I got to see what he looked like. I got to see the new van, a used van. He said he was getting assistance from, he's out in California, from pandemic unemployment relief. He has money. And it was just this glimmer of hope. And that was God. There's no doubt about it. I didn't need to look at Twitter. I did not need to look at it. That's a big thing, a little thing. For some of you may know, I just finished writing my first novel. It's a work of fiction. It's about the Antichrist and the end times and a young woman's faith. And Satan's been trying really hard to stop me. And I finally finished. But not an exaggeration. Every time I opened that laptop, I was getting a call from my son's friends or something was coming into my life. He was trying to stop me because, of course, it's about him. So my daughter did a final edit for me. And she sent all the corrections for my book to my laptop, and all of the corrections were in blue. And there's black ink in my manuscript, big white screen, and I couldn't separate the blue ink from the black ink. And I said to her, honey, can you take that blue ink, make it red so I can see better what my corrections need to be. So she's researching. She says, Mom, there's no way to do it. It's a coding issue in the software. You cannot change the ink color. I'm like, okay. So the next morning, I thought I'll just deal with it. Got up, opened up my laptop. It was all the corrections were in red. I was so happy. I called my daughter. I said, you found a way to do this, honey. You found how to change the ink color. She said, Mom, I didn't do that. I didn't do a thing. I knew that was God, too. Not only did he care about this big issue for me with my son, he also cared about that stupid ink color, that insignificant little problem I had. Because you start questioning, I don't know if any of you have written a book, but you start thinking, oh, my gosh, is this good enough? And am I going to be able to get it published? And it was like God was saying, you bet it's good enough, and I'm going to help you by making that ink red so you can make your corrections. So God loves us, even in the little things, and he loves us in the big things. Tell him about all of it. He wants to hear. He already knows it, but it's all about you having a relationship with him and growing that relationship. And as soon as I stopped focusing on my son and focused on him, the peace came in. God knows what he's doing. He knows where he is. He knows what he needs. He's not going to forsake my son. He's not going to forsake any of you either. So pray about the little things and the big things. Thank you.
Well, thank you. That is. And I think that is an encouragement for all of us that he truly is concerned. Well, yeah, he's concerned with your major issues for sure, right? You would think he's God. He's got to be concerned with the major issues. But we also understand that the little things, he has that same concern for you. Because why? He loves you. He wants to take care of us and let us know that he's there. Anybody else? We can move on. Or I think we truly need to hear those things, because I think that's when we really get really closer to him, is when we realize that he's sensitive to our little things that are bothering and concerning to us. And so it's an encouragement, and very much so. So thank you for sharing that, Terry. And isn't that cool that color comes on the thing? And it's like, how'd that happen? And amen. Thank you, Father. God is on the move. He is taking care of us. Amen. It's encouraging to hear those things of God. And we probably all have them. We should have the blessing of God in our lives every day. You know, he's doing something for us. And my encouragement to you is to pay attention to what's going on around you and begin to see the hand of God moving the pieces, taking care of situations, making a way where there seems to be no way, whatever the case might be. I want to look at a little bit in this area of that obedience level. Don't have a lot to share within it, but just coming across some scriptures and things that I was looking at in the last day or so. And I've shared this sometimes before, and maybe you see the same thing, that when God has you on a path, you seemingly can't get off of it, or you think you're off of it, and you're saying, well, okay, that's well and good. Let's move on to something else, or what is next, God? But then it seems like some of the scriptures that you inadvertently just kind of go to, you begin to read, and at the end of it, it's like, well, that parallels to what we just talked about, or that's what was on my heart the last couple of weeks, God, as, you know, in our devotions or meditation and the things that God is sharing with us. And so we look at that, and I can't emphasize enough of our obedience to that of God. I think, like Terry shared, you know, as we pray for the times and the peace and ask God to give us peace and comfort and all that, is that he gives us those things. But then, I think like she's mentioned, or if I remember, it came to me when she was talking about this, but she needed to act upon those things. He can give us peace, but you've got to act upon that. He can give you this, but you've got to make that initiative to grasp it and use it. He can put all of these things out here for us, but if they're just out there for us, or if they're like in a toolbox, you know, we talk about at times, and you look at different verbiages and things that we get into for meetings and stuff like that, it's just another tool in our toolbox on how to take care of this, that, or the other. But if we get God's toolbox, and he puts these things in there, peace, comfort, joy, strength, so much, but we don't pull on them and use them, they're going to be there waiting for you to take up. And then you're going to go to God and say, well, God, I cried out for this. Why didn't I get this? Well, it so happened that you didn't reach out and take it or act upon it. See, the things that God gives us is things that generally we have got to act upon it. He gives us, and then we've got to make actions to that. He's not, you know, the old adage is, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make a horse drink, okay? That's that whole thought process. We talk about that with the things of God. We would desire, if we could just get a hold of people and just bring them right into what we want them to know of God, bring them to the altar, take them to the class, take them to this, take them to that, it would be so great and so easy, it would seem like, for discipling and witnessing, because we're just going to lead them along that path. And we're not going to let them go until you grasp this. Okay, check that off. Check that off. But we can bring them into these scenarios, but unless they themselves desire that within, until Tim desired it within himself to receive more of what God has for Tim, it doesn't matter who tries to get me close to it, who tries to force it down my throat, whatever the case might be, it's only going to be once when I say, I will receive it, and I'm going to work with it. I'm going to allow it into my life. And so when we get into the areas of obedience is a very important step in any of our Christian walk. We've shared quite a bit the last two or three weeks about that. But just reading through, and I came across this in Luke, and it began in Luke 11. And I'm going to start in 24, and it's talking about, you know, unclean spirits return. Then it goes into verse 27, talks about keeping the word. And it says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. And then he goes and he takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. That kind of touches really quickly upon this. When we see somebody going through a very struggling time with God, but not really with God, it's the spirit within them. And I've had this, and maybe you've had this too, where people say, you know, I'm possessed, or there's just the evil spirit in me. And sometimes we have a lot of Christians, when they hear that, it's almost like they start salivating or whatever, you know, their saliva starts going, yeah, that's what we want. We want to go cast out that demon. We're the army of God. We're going to go and stand in force, and we're going to drag that person to the altar, and we're going to whatever it is, and just continually pray and draw that out. Well, that's all well and good, but if you don't have a place set up for them to be learning more of God, what happens is that spirit comes out, but, you know, and we look at this, what happens then, all it will, it'll just come back even worse. You've got to have things set up to be able to take that person and to teach them and to get them more understanding of the things of God, and it is a spiritual battle out there. Many times, you know, I look at these things, and even when somebody's doing some terrible things, you know, it's not really that of they're demonic or they're possessed, and there truly is possessions, and there's some things out there like that. I'm not saying there's not, but a lot of times it's just the people, I think, really just not being obedient to the things of God. And when we are not obedient to the things of God, God will not bless those things. And then sometimes that person gets the thought process like, this is always going south. This is always happening. This is always taking place. Why isn't my life better? What is going on? I have Christian friends, and they seem like, oh, God is blessing them. God has that, and he's helped them, and he's prevailed there, and da-da-da-da-da. And then they begin maybe, and they think like, well, there's got to be something wrong with me. The devil's constantly attacking me, you know, type of a thing. And I don't really know if it's the devil constantly attacking that person or if the blessings of God can't flow to that person because of disobedience. Remember when I talked about being disobedient is to be rebellious. Rebellious is like that of witchcraft, things of that nature. Being obedient is that of being compliant, being doing what's been asked. You know, if I'm obedient, I do what I've been asked to do without complaining, without all these things. I think a lot of times in our walk with God, we do a lot of complaining to God. I complained a lot to him in the past. But I've learned, maybe, Tim, you better not complain a whole lot. You better just sit or stand or lay or whatever before God and listen to hear what he has to say. But looking at this here, this is just like a side note. So when we get to these things and people think that, oh, the devil is just attacking me and I'm cursed and all that, I would probably want to have a conversation and let's just find out where you're at in some of the things of God first. One of those times that somebody really felt that they were possessed, and I said, well, I'll come over and we'll have a cup of coffee and we'll sit and talk. It was this. It's like after we talked for about an hour and 20 minutes, hour and a half, he finally says, I think what the problem is, I've got unforgiveness in my heart. And I said, I think that's the case. I think you have unforgiveness in your heart. God's word says that if you can't forgive, how can I forgive you? All these things that kind of meld together with the things of God. And he was fine. He realized where the fault lied. It was with him and his unforgiveness of things that happened 30 years ago. But I encourage us all to be obedient to the things of God so that we are in line with God to get his blessings. And not that I just want God so that I can get his blessings, but I want to be obedient to God to fulfill his destiny on my life, our lives, the church's life. So then we go on in verse 27. And then it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you. But he said, more than that, what? Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. We hear the word of God, but do we keep it? It's one thing to hear. It's another thing to do. You know, faith without action, you know. We have to have actions to our faith. We have to walk in these things that God has said. You got to have faith when you pray for a son, for a daughter, for a situation. You have to have faith that God heard. First of all, you got to get to the point is, do you believe God heard your prayer? Sometimes people will say, I don't think God's listening to me. Really? Why would God not listen to you? Are you that special? Are you that far removed from him that he's not going to listen to you? God hears our prayers. God knows our needs even before we ask, it says in Scripture. But we go to him with our need because I'm going to lift it up to him because personally I'm going to acknowledge it. And like I think you were saying there, Terry, with what the need is, I need God, you to do this, and I've got to turn it over to you because I've tried this for how many years? It is. I think it's our human nature. A lot of us, we want to hold on to it. We want to fix it. You know, men, you know, you look into relationship types, things of marriages and all, and you talk about, you know, pre-marriage and talking to pre-marriage counseling and talking to even after they've been married and they're having some issues and some things, is that men are fixers. They want to fix these things, and we've got to be able to allow God to fix those things. And we got to step back and we got to be what? Obedient to those things of God that says, I heard your cry, I heard your prayer, I know what you're going through, but you know, for this to take care of itself, you need to step back. And you need to give God the space to come in. Because if you don't step back and you're always doing it and something does happen, that person's going to think, it's my mom doing it. It's my mom doing it. It's my relative. It's this person. It's that person. Well, when we take our hands off of it, and even have to tell that person sometimes, I have turned you over to God, and I'm trusting God, I would encourage you to trust him as well and begin to see these things start coming together. But it is hard. It's not easy. But that's one of those things that when you know, we'd say, God, you want me to do this, but I can't do it on myself. Give me the strength. Give me the words. Give whatever it is, I need you to help me. And so not only was God helping, but God is helping you learn more of him. And see, and that's what we find in our situations in life. When somebody we're trying to help and we turn to God and God is taking care of it and then we're trusting God, it's really a win-win situation for everybody involved, because that person that cried out for help sees the help going to that person and their faith encourages and rises up. That person that all of a sudden things are beginning to help and happen in their life may look at and go, how is this working? Well, somebody's going to say, you know, thank God for that. Or I've prayed about that. I've turned you over to God. It's in God's hands. What are they going to say? You know, they can either believe it or not, they're going to choose. They might just say it was a great accident that this happened. What luck I had. But we're going to say it wasn't luck. It was because God showed up. And so we got to look at that. Now we got to remember and use the phrases and the words to give God the glory. Oh no, I'm not lucky. I'm blessed. Why are you blessed? Because I serve a mighty God. I serve a risen Savior. I cry out. I pray. I glorify. I ask him whatever, and he's working in my life, and I'm being obedient to him, and I want to become more obedient to him so that, you know, I can receive all that he has for me. I don't want any more than what I'm due, whatever that would be, but all I know is I just want everything that God has for me. I want to receive it, whatever it is. And the only way that I'm going to do that is to listen to him, obey him, follow him, trust him, and do a lot of praise and worship and love him. Whenever you don't have anything else or you don't know how else to pray or you've prayed umpteen times for the same situation or whatever, you better just kick into praise and worship. The storm is still raging, but you better just get to that level that I've turned it over to you, God. It's still happening, but now I'm going to turn it to this. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What a mighty God I serve. Oh, Father, thank you for hearing my pleas. Thank you for being here. Lord, I love you. And get into that time of just worship and praise, because that's in it really what we were designed for. Why he created us was to praise him. He wanted those to praise him. So he creates us, and we look to him as our creator and the one that takes care of us. And praise God, takes care of our problems and situations. Anybody out there got a problem? Anybody out there got a situation taking place? Yes. Well, you know what? That just gives God the opportunity to come into your life and to show you that he's there. So as we look at this, I like this where he says, but more than that, in the red, Jesus says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Do you want to be blessed by God? Hear the word of God. Keep the word of God. Okay, so now we're in Luke 8, and I go to 8:21. Jesus' mother and brothers come to him. And this is in Luke in chapter 8 here. We're looking at a lot of the parables of the revealed light, the parable of the sower explained, the purpose of parables, all of these things. And then, we get in at 8:19. It says, then his mother and brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. Isn't that something? Sometimes it's hard to get around Jesus because there's so many people around him, huh? So the family's even trying to get to him, but there's a crowd around him. And it was told him by the same who said, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. And in verse 21, but he answered and he said to them, my mother and my brother are these who hear the word of God and think about it. No, that do it. See, when God gives us things to do, when God plants something in your heart, that we've got to then trust him by faith that what he has put there to do, well, I don't care what it is. It could be to say, I want you to witness to this coworker. Oh, but that coworker, oh, they speak venom, you know. They're like the furthest away from a Christian if you ever hear them in the lounge, you know, whatever the case might be. But all of a sudden, the Lord puts it upon you to say, I want you to bring word to that person. And you know what he might do? He may give you some kind of a word of knowledge, because God moves into that realm too. And when that happens, you may be able, that's how the conversation starts out. But it all begins back to that first focal point of obedience. Because I could sit there and say, I don't want to do that because of what this person is about. I don't want to get into an argument. Whatever the case might be, they're just very anti-God. But you don't know that God has worked something within their spirit to where they're ready to receive something. And then that thing that they might receive is something that God's going to drop into your spirit. First, you might have to be obedient and say, okay, God, I don't know how this is going to go, but when I see him tomorrow afternoon or tomorrow morning in the break room, and we got our off time or whatever on lunch hour, I'm just going to share. I'm going to share about you. And as you get ready to do that, all of a sudden he drops something in your spirit of a word of knowledge to talk to that person, and that gets their attention. Anybody ever had your attention piqued when somebody speaks to you about something like, how did you know that? And you go, I don't know, other than by God. Or you would say, just in my time of prayer and preparation or whatever with my Lord, this just dropped into my spirit, and he wants you to know this, or whatever the case is. But see, God is going to manage all of these pieces. What we need to do is be obedient to allow those pieces to come into that setting, and to do what? Trust God. How many people don't really trust God? God tells them of something to do, but they get so within themselves because they begin to look at it as themselves, saying like, I don't think that's possible, because I began to look at it in my human wisdom, in my own understanding of things, or because I've seen the situation visually, or I know what that person's going through personally, and it's like, I don't think they're going to want to hear me sharing this about that, God. I just don't think that's it. But if God has put it in your spirit, if you receive a word from that of God, it's going to be just like this. My mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and they do it. Oh, hallelujah. To be the brother of Christ, amen, you know, all of these things. But it gets back to that focus of when you hear something to do, you better what? Do it. And not run from it. And we can try to run from it. Now, let's see here. I'm going to jump back to Matthew 12:46. Jesus' mother and brothers send for him. Matthew 12:46. While he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside, here again, seeking to what? Speak with him. Then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. But he answered and said to the one who had told him this, who is my mother and who is my brothers? And he stretched out his hand toward what? His disciples, and said this, here are my mother and my brothers. For again, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and mother. We continually run across this thread through that of Jesus speaking to those around him, that to do the will of the Father in heaven is my mother's and my brother's. They're the ones that we're looking to be used. They're the ones that are going to be actively, sharing and doing and really spreading the things of the kingdom of God. We've got to hear and we've got to go, right? It's like when he tells us the word, once you hear it, what do you have to do? Go! You have to go and share it and spread it and to those around you. What kind of started this out, I don't know if I could get back to it real quick before I want to jump to one other place here. Basically, it's paraphrased this way, that he who denies me before fellow man will be denied before that of the angels in heaven. And he that shares about me, you know, he will be shared with that up in heaven. So as we acknowledge him here, he will acknowledge us in heaven. If we don't acknowledge him here, we won't be acknowledged in heaven. It's that thing of the obedience and working within that realm of what we are expected to do once as we become the followers of Christ. Once we become enlightened to the things of that, of what God wants you to do. How many here believe at first when God tells you to do something, you look at it saying, that's insurmountable, I can't do that. Anybody ever been there? Or is it just me? Is it only God telling me to do some crazy things? Like, I've got to look at it and go, When God drops that in your spirit, first thing you want to do is look around. Like, it must be for the guy behind me. Out here, you're saying it must be for across the room. It's for this person. It's for that person. It's not for me. But you know what? It is specifically for you because God has chose you. And remember, we talked about many weeks back now about how, you know, chosen and he knew us before we were in the mother's womb and all of that as far as how much God has an interest in us and knows us from the very beginning. He knows us even before we even enter into this place. Hallelujah. So if he knew me back then, do you not think he knows me now? If he knew you back then before you were formed in your mother's womb, do you not think he knows the specifics and the exactness and what you're thinking, what you're doing, what you're contemplating, what's on your mind, what's your worries, what's your anxiety built on? All of these things that he's aware of. And I think once, like, I'll just share again, and this is how Terry was sharing, once we in this life have so much of this stuff put upon us, if we can begin to understand, we have got to release some of that stuff or it'll kill you. It'll bury you. It'll take your eyes off of anything of God because you are so inundated with the cares of this world. The cares of this world are your loved ones, your sons, your daughters, your husband, your wife, your mom, your dad, your job. What are your cares of this life? And all of these things put together, or maybe by themselves, even one of those things can take you off of the path that God has for you. And once you get off of that path that God has for you, I believe we begin to see some crazy things within our lives begin to happen. I feel so far away from God. What happened? God seemed like he was always with me every day. What has happened? What has changed in God that he doesn't want to be with me or help me or encourage me or give me joy? Where is my joy gone to? Well, your joy has gone out the window because you've left where the joy was at. The joy was that within God. The joy, actually, when you surrender yourselves to become obedient to the things of God, you will begin to find you will receive joy back into your life. And sometimes, you know what? You might be busier now than you were back then. You're going to say, how does that work? Only that of God knows. But it's because we're into that vein and doing what God has wanted us to do. We always know and we always can look at these things to where with God, things will go a whole lot faster, a whole lot better, and you will save time. Do it on your own and it'll take you, what, 3 days to accomplish something. Be honoring God, be obedient to God, do what he wants you to do, and that three-day task all of a sudden turns into like an afternoon job, and it's done, and you're going, wow, that accomplished a whole lot faster than I thought. I believe it is all tied in our obedience and listening and following and allowing God. Are you allowing God into your problem? We have to accept Jesus into our life. It's my will that I receive him. And we do that, and that's well and good. But then I think we stop there a lot of times, and we don't allow God to continue to come into our life and surrender ourselves to him like he asks us to do with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our mind, with all of our being. All. Those that have found to be able to do that, you're walking a little bit higher than your problems. Oh yeah, you still got problems. Anybody walking with God and still have problems? I would imagine everybody in this room. Here. And if you don't have enough, I'm sure Terry or somebody, Wayne, you might share your problems, right? Hey, I got enough for 25 people. Here they are, you know. So we all have those things, and we're going to work on those things, and they will be in your life, but you're going to work at it and walk with it in a different realm because you've allowed God into your life. And I'm going to say, Lord, I need you in the middle of this confusion. I need you into this situation. I need you to change this atmosphere that I'm in. A lot of times, as we are in an atmosphere of problems, we're in an atmosphere because what's it say in God's Word? The battle is not against flesh and blood. The battle is in the spiritual heavenlies. It's in the spiritual realm. And until we understand those things, we will continue to be wore out. If you're battling stuff in the flesh, you will wear out. Guarantee it, right? Because we cannot sustain a battle day after day after day after day after day after day. We can't do it on our own. It's a spiritual battle. Now it's happening, and we see it maybe revealing itself in the flesh of what we see, but we've got to understand that person, it's a spiritual battle. There's evil and good at work in our world. And until we understand that and keep that focus, that some of these poor people that are doing these things, they don't even realize they're being orchestrated by that of an evil spirit, really, to work upon that person. Again, we share these things over and over, but it just comes to me to the point of God uses people, the devil uses people. And here we are. I'm a people. Are you a people? I'm a people. And probably before, of course, before Christ came into my life, the devil was probably using me really good, you know. But then once I became born again, received Christ, began to see the love, the grace, the mercy of God, I began to say, I'm changing corners here. I'm going from dark to light. And once I began to do that, now there's more of a control of that of the light of God in our lives, or my life and your lives, I'm sure too, than that of the evil and the darkness that was out there. And it's evident through some of the things that we do throughout the flesh or throughout the natural that we see. But here again, the battle really is in the heavenlies. And until we as a people, to we as a nation, to we as whoever in leadership, till we understand these things, there will always be evil. There's always been evil in the world from the foundation of the earth. It's always been there. It's not has not been eradicated yet, but it will be one of these days. Amen. So now as we look at this, I just want to touch really quick. You go in the Old Testament. We've got just a little bit of time here. And look at this for yourself even further if you would like. But back in Jonah, everybody's, oh boy, we remember Jonah, huh? What a guy. God had a job for him to do, to go and to share. And what did he do? He got on the ship in the port. He went in the opposite direction. He goes, I ain't got to do that. So we find in Jonah, and you can read the background of it and all, but it's God has given him a task, and he's called upon him to do something. Has God called upon you to do something? How many here have run from it in the beginning? Be thankful that you didn't go out into some ocean somewhere and get a big whale, you know, and get swallowed up by a fish, you know. Because we know the story there. It talks about Jonah's disobedience. And Jonah 1, my heading says Jonah's disobedience. Remember disobedience, rebellion, refusing, not listening, not being compliant. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. He says this, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. This is the Lord or God saying this, okay? But Jonah, he arose to flee Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. He was running. How many here have run from the Lord? I've tried it. I've tried to bargain with him. I've tried to deal with him. I've tried to lay my cards on the table, but he always had a higher card. You can do that, Tim, but here's my card. Wow. Okay, Lord. But he arose to flee from the presence of the Lord. Today, where you're at with the Lord and all that he has done for you, can you envision yourself, if he was to ask you to do something, that you would rise up and flee from him? That if he had a mandate for you to accomplish something that he wanted you specifically to do, you would rise up early and say, I'm getting out of town and I'm going in the opposite direction, never to be seen from again. But he went to flee. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and he went down into it. Where did he go? Right down to the belly of the ship. From the presence of the Lord. He was wanting to get away from the presence of the Lord. Wow. And I have an understanding of what I've had with my Lord and the times that I've had with him in worship and just in the spirit and meditation. I can't envision that I'd want to get away from him, do you? It's like, man, it's been such a rich, rewarding, wonderful time. But oh, the saying goes, oh, but by that of the grace of God, there I go. And look at that whole thought process. So I would never want to say, I would never be like Jonah. Because that's when the enemy will slip up on you and say, oh yeah, here, we're going to try this. But I just look at that and I use it as an example to keep me in tune to that of God. And knowing that if he talks to me, the last thing I want to do is run from him and say, I ain't going to do that. Do you not know who's there? Do you not know what's taking place? Do you not know how many? It's a large place. It was like 150 or 200,000 people or something like that, I believe. But anyway, it was a large city, placed where he was wanting to go. And they were all of things against that of what God was about. And he wanted him to go and share the things of God and to tell them to repent. I mean, I start stammering and get dry mouth when he wants me to talk to maybe two people about repenting. Oh, really? Oh, okay, Lord. You know, imagine if he said, I want you to go to that city of 2,000 or 150,000, whatever, and I want you to cry out, repent! Turn from your wickedness, you know? God's wrath is coming. So anyway, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. Verse 4, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea so that the ship was about to be broken up. And then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship to the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had laid down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. We've called on ours. Call on yours. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. Verse 7. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know for those who caused this trouble was upon us. And so they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, please tell us, for what cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? Oh, and of what people are you? Man, the ship is a tossing and a turning. The waves are prevailing higher, and it's just this tempest out there. And now they're coming on Jonah. Who are you? Where are you from? Who are you working for? What's going on with you? And of what people are you? And so he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Well, now you go on and you read that story, but what happens? They threw him over the board. They we're going to get rid of you. And guess what happened? Once they got rid of the rebellion, the disobedient guy, what happened? They threw him into the sea. And then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. Nevertheless, men rowed hard and they returned to land, but they could not. They continued on. They're trying to work with him a little bit. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish, verse 14, for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it has pleased you. And so in verse 15, they picked him up, they threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. They got rid of the problem. They threw him back into the sea, or into the sea, not back to the sea, but into the sea. And once that happened, everything calmed. One man's disobedience affected everybody in that ship. In our disobedience, how does that affect me personally? In my disobedience to God, how could that affect my family? We're all on the ship. In my disobedience, how could it affect the church? See, what we've got to understand, folks, it's just not you. It's just not you. It's affecting others around us. All because of one person's disobedience. And that person was given a charge to do something for that of God. And because he ran the other way, all of this calamity fell upon these people. And they got rid of it. So as you can see, once they threw him into the sea, everything calmed down. Now, didn't God have it all planned out, huh? So they threw him over. Then Jonah prayed. Well, okay, first of all, verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow him, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Isn't that cool? You started reading things like this way back then, but you figure 3 days, three nights and all that. It's like, you know, Christ in the tomb and all after the resurrection, and all these things play off. You start looking at this and you read scriptures and the old and the new, and they all start kind of like what? They're not like this anymore. As you begin to touch upon each one and study them and follow them, all of a sudden they kind of come together like a dovetail, and you're going, huh, interesting. He was in for the belly of the fish 3 days, 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. Even down in the problem where you're at, he's going to hear you. Isn't that good? Isn't God good? Isn't God a loving, caring, grace and mercy-filled God? Even though he was disobedient to him, he was rebellious to him, he was going in the opposite direction, he at least began to cry out, "Have you cried out to God?" And said, "Oh, God!" Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and he said, "I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep and to the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All of your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, and yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The water surrounded me even to my soul. The deep closed around me." Anybody feeling like waters, you're deep, you're sinking? "Then the deep closed in around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down into the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving." There, see? Thanksgiving. When we get into a time of prayer and we're going through issues and things that are happening and we've prayed and maybe the things are still happening, okay, he's heard my prayer. Unless by that of the Spirit, where the Spirit within me says, keep praying and keep acknowledging this, 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 this. If my Spirit in me says, okay, you have asked that 3 times now. He heard you the first time. My Spirit will turn to say, you need to thank him now. But it's still happening. How can I thank him? You need to thank him with thanksgiving. I praise you. I thank you, Father. Forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And so guess what? The Lord spoke to the fish and he vomited Jonah up into the dry land. You can go on and read it and how he went there and fulfilled what God had planned for him to do there in Nineveh. And it accomplished exactly what? What God wanted. Go figure. What God wants, it accomplished. What God wants to do, what God wants to complete, it actually happens? It actually comes about? Yes. Why? He's God. He knows the beginning to the end. He knows the in-between. He's the same God. He changes not. All of these things that we think of, who our God is, should all give us encouragement to know that, you know what? I would rather be obedient to him than to obey man. If I can just continually walk in a daily obedience to my Lord, trust him, love him, praise him, thank him, if nothing else, I'll have a good day. You will have a good day. The battle that you're currently in will change. Thank you for sharing, Terry. The battle that you have warred for years, decades, how fast it can change when we hear that of God or read it in his word, and that word becomes rhema, and it hits your spirit to where you go, aha. You had an aha moment with God. Aha. That's what I've been missing for the last 20 years, 10 years, 3 days, 5 weeks, whatever the case is. That's what I've been missing. And you turn it over, turn it back to him, follow what he's asked you to do. You remember hearing this at times where somebody will say, when somebody says, I just feel like I don't see God anymore, or I feel like God is not with me. They'll always tell you, I've always heard this, and I think it's a good idea. Go back to where you last heard God and start there again. It'd probably be a good place to go back, because generally once that happens and he's asked us to do something and we are not being obedient, we become disobedient, all these things, is that God says this way and I got off of his path and I'm going that way. And God can't follow me on a path of errors and where I'm at. He doesn't want me there. But he'll be on that path that he wants me, and he will gently, or he'll grab me by the ruff of my neck or the scruff of my neck, and he'll whatever he needs to do and drag me back on to where he's at. But I've never had him drag me or grab me by that of the back of my neck and just... I don't know about you, but my God's loving. He's very tender. He's very, just like, I just hear his voice, and he's correcting me, but it's not yelling at me. He's correcting me, and I just know it's a voice of authority. I just know it's a voice to help me. It's when I hear those things, it's like, oh, God, you love me so much. You don't want to leave me where I'm at. He loves you where you're at. He doesn't want to leave you where you're at. He wants to take you onto higher and better places. And if we do misstep, if we do get off a little bit, he's still there to bring us back. But the thing is, we've got to recognize that, amen. Recognize you are estranged from that of God, and that God is not estranged from you. And then you've got to remember to say, uh-oh, I'm going to get back by that of prayer, forgiveness, whatever it might be that you need to get back and ask for repentance. That's what it's all about. So, again, just kind of look at that area of obedience. Remember, those that hear and do the will of my Father, they're my brothers, they're my sisters, they're my mom, they're my dad, my brother, mom and brother. Those that do and hear and follow what has been said to do. We've got to get into that and continue to be in that vein of doing what the Lord has asked us to do. I think as we look around and we see how times are going, we know that the times are growing crazier and crazier. I think it is getting to more of a time of we better hear, and you better listen, and you better follow. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for this wonderful opportunity to hear of your word. Father, I thank you for your love for us. And have we said it enough, Lord, that we love you? We thank you, we praise you, we honor you, we glorify you. Lord, I pray for each and every one here today, Lord, that we would sense that leading of you in our lives. And that, Lord, where you have asked us to go, for what you have asked us to do, Lord, if we have kind of stalled out and haven't been quick to react, forgive us, Lord, and help us and put us back into that level of where you want us to go. And Lord, I just pray for a divine area, Lord, of just obedience in our lives, and that we hear directions from you by that of the Holy Spirit, Lord. We are led by the Holy Spirit. But Father, just continue to enlighten us, Lord. Continue to speak within us, Lord. Continue to give us, Lord, that direction, Father. And above all, Lord, we do it to honor you, to glorify you, to show our love to you. I ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.